Boy, some great messages in the songs today and in the scripture that the Lord would seek us out and would take the place of Zacchaeus in a lot of ways and learn from Jesus how he treated Zacchaeus, where to treat other folk. Don't miss some of those words from Chris's song. Trust me and follow me and I will lead you home. What a great message. It's a true message from Christ who would come and be born in Bethlehem, die on Calvary, rise from the dead, and be among us today. So we want to know him as our closest friend and loved one and Lord of all. if you caught the letter from 2 Corinthians, your life and my life, according to the Bible, if you know Christ, is a story written by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it great to be a part of God's story? He writes the story and he says, boy, your life's like a letter written by God himself. And you might think, well, I thought my life was mine just for me and to figure out. And God says, no, your life is a story written by the Lord, written by the Holy Spirit. And God writes good stories. You know, he has a plan for us so we can trust him. And don't try to write your own story. It's not a good story if you write your own. You were never meant to do that, but you were born to have that close relationship with God that he would come to bring. He was on a rescue mission for you. When I thought of rescue missions, I thought of part of our U.S. military, the United States Coast Guard, that often we don't associate with some of the major branches. But they're under the U.S. Navy, and they're also the only part of the military directly under the Department of Homeland Security. So they protect us. And they do a lot of rescuing of people who are in life and death situations, the U.S. Coast Guard. And each year they save the lives of about 4,000 people who are in great danger and who would perish without them. And not only that, about 25,000 more people are rescued from being lost at sea or severely injured in some catastrophe. They do a great work, the U.S. Coast Guard. And one of their motto is simply always ready. Always ready. A great way to live. And it reminds us of Christ's second coming. We're to always be ready for that. Because we want to know Christ, follow him, always ready. But also a Bible verse that reminds us of our responsibility to other people. When it says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. I can say something about the Lord because of what he means to me, and you do the same. That's God's way of getting us on that rescue mission. And you talk about readiness. The Lord is always ready, isn't he, to reach out to us or to help us, whatever our particular need is. And U.S. Coast Guard, they save 4,000 people a year. And according to folks involved in missions and churches around the world, each day, 125,000 people are rescued by Christ. That's incredible. So he is a great rescue mission Lord, that he would draw so many to himself and he'd call us to come and be a part of that. And we could have a confidence in him. And the people who he rescues are in life and death situations. Heaven and hell are at stake. God would reach out to us if we felt like, oh, I deserve help, but I need a Savior. Christ would come and be that for us. And Jesus said his whole mission in life, being born in Bethlehem, was to seek and to save anyone who was lost. I think being lost is no fun. It's a scary feeling when you're lost in your soul. And you probably know people who are lost. I'm thankful the one who leads the rescue mission is the Lord. Because he's the one who's faithful, loving, compassionate, persevering. You know, he'll go after people that other people will ignore. He won't pass you by if you have a need. Christ is a great leader of the rescue mission. And he tells us we are to be teamed up with him on the rescue mission itself. How does Jesus lead the rescue mission? And how can we learn from him? This is something we can look at from how he handled his relationship with Zacchaeus. And first of all, the Lord creates people with a sense of being in need of God himself. You know, we're created with that God-shaped vacuum in our lives. Something missing. Can't quite put my finger on it, but I need God to intervene. We're born with that, the Bible says. Some call it conviction of sin. The book of Romans calls it conscience. In Romans chapter 2, we know right and wrong. In Romans chapter 1, that emptiness we have is called God's witness in creation. So everybody who you know, and you and I, when we were growing up and we're moving through life, you and I had a sense we need God in a big way. Unless he would come, we would feel empty in the presence and throughout all eternity. So the Lord wants us to know that people are like that. And that was Zacchaeus' situation. Even though he was a corrupt, compromising person in government, and you know all the feelings in a negative way you might have about people in public service today, that's how people felt about Zacchaeus. And he was no good from the get-go. And he had the reputation of being a bad apple in every sense of the word. And yet the Bible says this, Luke 19:3, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Isn't that great? He wanted to see who Jesus was. Every person has that curiosity. Is Jesus the one? Is he the Lord? Can he help me? So everybody that you know who has yet to believe in Christ has that sense. I feel like I need the Lord. People want to see who Jesus is. If you follow college football at all, one of the local teams, the Pitt Panthers, are doing pretty well. And if you go online and type in their head coach, you can get his testimony that online about the Lord. And the big part of his testimony was he was living his life. He was, you know, doing this and having a lot of success in coaching the pros and all this other. And yet he put in his own words, there was something missing in my life. And that was created by God, to be filled by God. Something missing in my life. You might be in that boat this morning. Even if you know Christ and have strayed from him, you might say, well, there's something missing in my life. I used to feel and was walking with Christ step by step, and now, you know, I turn to him only occasionally. Christ would give you that vacuum so you could want him to fill it. And to see people around you in the way that the Lord does. Jesus said in John chapter 4, open your eyes, the fields are ready for harvest. In other words, the people around us that we know who have yet to receive Christ are more open to the Lord than you and I believe. Christ says there's a readiness and a receptivity that maybe you and I wouldn't think. Certainly when people saw Zacchaeus, they said, he'll never turn to God. Yet the Bible says he wanted to see who Jesus was. And Jesus stopped for him. And he'll stop for you this morning if you have a real spiritual need. The second thing we can learn about Jesus' rescue mission is that he seeks Zacchaeus and spends time with him. Jesus spent time with Zacchaeus. He says, come down here right now. I'm going to your house today. And the response of others was, oh, we don't know if that's a good idea. But the good idea Jesus had was this. Jesus spent time with unbelievers and still does today. If you have friends who don't know the Lord, guess who spends time with them? Not necessarily you, but Jesus. Jesus spends time with unbelievers. And what a great Lord that he would reach out to us when we were like that. One of the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance is that lost people matter to God, and he wants them found. Okay, lost people matter to God, and he wants them found. The people in your life that that your heart aches for. That ache is there because God put it there. God's heart aches for them. And if you ever have a loved one in your life who you're alienated from, or maybe they're not around and they used to be around, they're living somewhere else, boy, you miss them so much. That's the Lord's passion for lost people. And God would go, He would spend time with them. I think that's a passion of our particular congregation. We can be sure then, before you, just like Zacchaeus, before anybody prayed for Zacchaeus to receive Christ or be interested in Him, the Lord was interested in him. The Lord took the initiative, and He was there. So the Lord has sought out the person you're concerned about. And there's a book out by Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's daughter, suggested to me by Linda Byerly, and the title is Don't Fear Tomorrow, The Lord Is Already There. You know, you have concerns about tomorrow, what will happen. Don't fear tomorrow, the Lord is already there. And so when we think of the rescue mission Christ sends us on, to say, wow, God has spoken to that person before I got there. And that's a comfort. God's the initiator. And He's already introduced Himself to the person in some manner. I think the Bible says the Lord will not be without a witness. Isn't it great how in a courtroom you search and search sometimes, is there a witness for the truth of what happened? God comes forward and said, yeah, I'll be the first witness. And then I'll call my people also to tell the truth of my son and how life is. So Jesus spent time with those who didn't believe in Him. He was a friend of them. I heard the other day a story about the two magicians, Penn and Teller. They do acts, you know, and pull the rabbit out of the hat or whatever they do. And one of them is an atheist, a very vehement atheist. He's angry at God and Christians and all that. And he said that a Christian offered him a Bible one time. And he said, instead of getting mad, I thanked him for it. Because I thought, if this guy really believes all the things in that book, he really should be giving me a Bible. So I respect him for it. And God initiated something in a man's life who's vehemently against God, yet God's reaching out to him. He sees him through the eyes of his son. There's a need there. And people in your life you have a concern about, God would reach out to you. Or maybe you see yourself as Zacchaeus, or you're like one of the magicians, and you feel apart from God and pushing Him away. God would still pursue you and ask you for a response. That's how great He is. And so Jesus spends time with Zacchaeus, goes to his house, and then Zacchaeus repents, and everybody hears about it. And Jesus said, well, salvation is here. And this man too is the son of Abraham, and I came to seek and to save what was lost. And this morning, Jesus is seeking some of your friends that God has put in your life who don't know the Lord. And he wants to reach them through you. And it doesn't matter what abilities you have. If you have God's Spirit in your life and Christ in your life, God will sign you up on his team and use you. I knew a young man named Isaac a number of years ago. He was one of the quietest teenagers that I got to know. And he didn't hang around. If there were groups of kids around, he didn't hang around with the groups. More just a reserved young man and following Christ in his heart. And Isaac would begin to share with people one-on-one what Christ meant to him. And when people realized what he was doing, their response was real refreshing. They said, we know that's not just Isaac. God must be really working in his life and through him, because he could not do that by himself. And so you, as you reach out to your friends who don't know the Lord, they'll have a sense, well, this is not just them, because I know them. They're kind of a rascal at times. God must be real. And he's in this person's life. And the Lord can use you that way. Who among those who don't know Christ will say this: I know a Christian, and I see Christ in them. Would they name you? Now, how many people outside the church would say, I know you, I know, and put your name in there, and I know they're a Christian because of the way they live. And God wants to use you that way and be a seed planter for Him. And when I think of my life, the people who influenced me to grow in the Lord, they were really great people. They decided to spend time with me, and I showed not a lot of interest in the Lord at the beginning. But they spent a lot of time with me. They would invite me to different events and church and things like that. And they were pretty sharp guys. Two of them ended up as college professors with PhD, one in psychology, one in religion. And then another guy who would run his own company later on. But they would spend time with me, and it was how they treated me that helped me believe in Christ more even than the things they taught me, the particulars of theology and all the different things that are important for us. It was how they treated me that made a difference in my life and helped me to grow in my faith. So it wasn't what they knew, but how much love they had. So each one of us, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to be an effective person for Christ. You can be somebody who loves others, and God will use you. Jesus would tell His followers right at the beginning of their ministry, follow Me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then God will use you like that. You probably, there's something called evangelistic entropy. Talked about that about 6 months ago on Wednesday night. The longer you're a Christian, the less people who are unbelievers that you know. That's a sad fact. A lot of times because, well, you want to spend time with the Christians all the time and, you're real comfortable. That's great. But what about the people outside the church? We exist to pass the news on to them. And so to go with the love of Christ, be a fisher of men, know that you're an ambassador for Christ, know that God is writing your story, and you're a witness by the power of His Spirit. That was Isaac's story. He was a witness not because of his skill. He was a witness because God was big in his life. And that's next week's sermon really focuses in on that part. Charles Spurgeon encourages us to walk with the Lord so we could be an effective witness. He says, have friendship with the Lord and allow Him to lead your heart. Allow Him to rule your decisions and your emotions, and you'll be a joyful ambassador for Him. And only God can make us that way. We know otherwise we'll just be cranky and crabby Christians, that not attracting anybody to the Lord. That's part of the Sunday school lesson, I think, to be a consistent follower of His. And how the Lord could change you if you're a Zacchaeus, or the Zacchaeuses in your life. Close with a true story of someone who is in our district. He goes to an Alliance church, and he used to have a real rough background. But now he goes to the church. He worships at both services because he really loves the singing and the people. First service, he worships. Second service, he ushers and helps park cars. And if you were to get to know the guy, his body is like covered with tattoos, and one of the tattoos on his side is KKK. He was a former third-ranking officer in a Ku Klux Klan group. And his life was just full of anger and hatred. He was against this group and that group and different races for whatever reason. And Christ sought him. Who would say, boy, someday he'll become a Christian? Only the Lord had His eye on him first. And he became a Christian. His life was changed. And he has a vibrant, loving lifestyle now with the Lord's help. And in fact, he went after walking with the Lord a little bit and apologized to every black person he ever harassed or gave a rough time to. He was like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, I rip somebody off, I'll love them four times over. And that's what the Lord did for this guy's heart. And that's what the Lord can do for your heart. You might be a Christian and say, well, you know, I have some things, rough edges the Lord needs to work on. God can turn those rough edges into a point where His grace just overtakes your life and you are a shining example of following Him. How wonderful He is. And so in the adventure God calls us to, the Lord brings good news through you. And would you believe Him and hear the call in your life? And if you're not at peace with God, let Him make peace with you. So you could be a man who repents as vehemently as Zacchaeus. Because all of us have parts of our life that are as broken as Zacchaeus's was. But the Lord can bring healing there. Let's pray and have a time of silent turning to the Lord. Lord, we thank You for seeking Zacchaeus out. And he was open to You. He wanted to see who You were. We ask, Lord, that we would recognize that people around us who have yet to receive Christ are open. There's a God-shaped vacuum there. And Jesus, You have every desire in the whole universe to come and be a shepherd and a Savior to them. So help us follow You in that great mission that You give us. Thank You for the people in our lives who influenced us toward Yourself. And as we think back on them, they weren't the most skilled, probably. They probably weren't the ones with the most Bible knowledge, even. And that's a great thing to have, but maybe they were just people who God used, and You can use us in that way. Lord, I pray for anybody here today who doesn't know You and feels like Zacchaeus, feels like they're apart from Christ. I ask, Lord, as sincerely as they can, that they would say to You, Lord, come into my life, be my shepherd. Reach out to me, Lord, like You reached out to Zacchaeus. Stay in my heart and stay in my house today so I might know I belong to You now and forever. Might there be a salvation in the lives of people and the houses of people represented by the folks here. And Father, we pray silently this morning for the adventure of following You as a fisher of men, as a letter from Christ. Help us to see ourselves in that manner, because it's the truth of Your word. We want it to be the truth of our experience. Hear our silent prayers.